Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Baskin and Phelps, and right now, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, man who covers the Browns for the ESPN folks and does a nice job. You see him up on TV.
You make it sound so family-oriented.
Oh, they're all a big, happy family in Bristol. And then they're all their little satellite offices, like in Cleveland, where Jake Trotter does all of his fine reporting. Hello, Jake.
What's going on, guys?
We saw you across the way out at Feed the Need the other day. We were waving to you. You didn't come over and say hi.
Boy, I blew you off.
You didn't blow me off. I didn't feel like we got blown up. Now, Jeff is very sensitive.
That's all right. I was kidding. I waved at you though, but you were busy.
I thought you guys were. I thought you guys were big time in me. You know, I didn't want to go over there. And, you know,
Jake, I just want you to know, I would never big time you. Never. Now, okay. Phelps is right. Another. I mean, you know, Phelps has a lot of suits and ties, so he can big time people.
It was tough to get into the corner where we were, though, Jake. So I understand completely. So
yeah, you.
Would you have worn a T-shirt out to see a movie, Jake?
Here's the thing about the T-shirt. We're talking about the T-shirt.
Yeah.
The T-shirt, Freddie was right in that the T-shirt is not the reason the Browns lost the game.
Exactly.
It's not as if the Steelers were going to be less motivated had Freddie not worn the T-shirt. I mean, there was plenty on the line in that game, both emotionally and then just in terms of the playoffs. But this is the deal about the T-shirt. And this is not the only example of this as it relates to the Browns this year. When you do something like that and you don't back it up and you don't win, it looks dumb, right?
Absolutely.
It just looks dumb.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a watch or cleats or, I mean, just go down the list. It just looks dumb when you don't back it up.
Yep.
Fair point.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to ask a question we haven't talked about at all today. Where's David Njoku? Why didn't he play yesterday?
Yeah, it's really strange. He told me a couple of weeks ago that he was ready to go. But I think there's a combination of things potentially going on here. One,
okay,
that, you know, they don't feel like he's quite ready for whatever reason. And number two, I don't know that they think he would help them that much.
Hmm. That's interesting, because when we talked to him on Tuesday, Feed the Need, I mean, he was all smiles, man. I thought he was going to get to play. I really thought they were going to use him yesterday, yeah. And I do think they should use him. And
It's not like a knee or a concussion. It's his wrist, and they heal.
Correct. I was surprised by it, too. At the same time, I think if you put truth serum into the Browns, I don't think that they believe they're that much better with Njoku on the field. I mean, you know, he's had some moments this year, but has he been a dominant tight end? And tight end was not their problem yesterday.
That's very true. To get away from the running game like they did, and going back and looking at everything, Jake Trotter joining us from ESPN, 13:42 on the clock when the Browns ran their last running play. So in the last 13:42, they didn't run the ball, even though it was a 10-point game. And Baker wasn't very good in the final 13:42. He was 5 of 11. What's the thinking there, Jake? Do you have any idea what – I mean, if Baker were lighting it up, I'd say, okay, but help Baker by running the ball a couple of times, would you not?
Absolutely. You know, maybe there was a little bit of panic because they could feel everything slipping away. You know, all the momentum was with the Steelers from about the second quarter on. And I think at the same time, you know, they had a sense that, man, we just can't get the ball to Odell Beckham. Maybe he can do something for us, and let's try that. Which you saw at the end of the first half, too, to no avail. And, you know, I think it's just a symptom of a bigger problem that has plagued this team all season is, you know, you have a head coach who's also calling the plays, and it's a lot. And I think that the details of it all get lost. Because he's got so much on his plate, and he's doing it for the first time, not only being a head coach, but being an offensive coordinator in an offense that's essentially his. you know, last year's the Todd Haley, you know, offense. So I think that the subtle parts of being a play caller, I think it slips away from them because there's just their plan is not, I think very clearly not been the best in terms of not bringing in a guy to call plays to ease the pressure off the head coach. And so you see things like this. I mean, you know, it's just, I go down the list this season of little details as it relates to what we're talking about that have absolutely killed them this year. And you wonder if they had, you know, Freddie had more help in terms of somebody calling the plays, that maybe they would be better in those details.
Do you think Freddie's fate for next year has already been decided? Like they're all in or they're ready to move on?
I don't think it's been completely decided because, I mean, if you go lose to the Bengals Sunday and you become just a total embarrassment, then that's, you know, that's going to be different. I continue to believe that they want this to work out and that they're going to give him another shot, but he's got to give them a reason too. And 8-8 looks a lot better than 7-9. And obviously, sorry guys, it's been a long weekend.
Oh, we know. We're with you, brother.
I think as long as, you know, they beat the Bengals and maybe Arizona and, you know, they finish 8-8, my guess would be that he would be back. But honestly, I don't think that they should base it on the record because what, you're going to keep a guy because he beats the Cardinals? I mean, like, who cares about that? You have to look at what has happened this season and make the evaluation not on the record itself, but in conjunction with all the goofy things that have happened with this team.
Jake Trotter is joining us from ESPN. In the final 13:42, and I keep harping back on this, there are key playmakers. Jarvis didn't touch the ball at all. Odell touched it once. Chubb touched it once. And Kareem touched it twice. So four touches from your top four playmakers in the final 13:42. I just wonder what the thought process is, Jake. And, you know, play calling's easy if it works, right? It all looks brilliant. And like Bill O'Brien last night, looking brilliant against the New England Patriots. But mm-hmm. I just wonder if what you've laid out about, you know, too much on your plate, if his offense compared to Todd Haley's, I wonder if that is what becomes a deciding factor in Freddie's future, or if John Dorsey and the Haslams are looking at, we think this is a guy who is on his way to a good coaching career. Because clearly, based on what's happened here in the first, 12 games, you would and off the field as well, I don't think there's any way you would retain a head coach in this situation, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not just the fact that they haven't won as many games as they should. It's all of the other stuff, whether it's Demarius Randall or, I mean, the Myles Garrett situation or Jermaine Whitehead. I mean, just go down the list of, I mean, how many players, defensive players, are they missing right now for reasons that have nothing to do with injury? I mean, they were missing three starters plus on Sunday that could have helped them. But, you know, one guy swung a helmet, another guy was tweeting from the locker room, and another guy decides to skip a practice. And like, it's just hard to win in the NFL. The margin is so slim when you have all of that going on, in addition to losing guys like, you know, Morgan Burnett to an Achilles injury. And, you know we're all piling on Freddie, and, you know, Freddie deserves a lot of blame for, you know, what happened. But you were mentioning all those guys. I, by the way, I don't even know who was touching the ball if those guys weren't touching the ball. But one reason they weren't touching the ball is because, you know, they can't protect the quarterback right now. And so, you know, Baker talked about it afterward. We have all these plays designed that take a little bit of time. And when, you know, we don't have 2 or 3 seconds to get rid of the ball, none of that is going to work. And, you know, Freddie wasn't the one who put the offensive line together this year.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the general manager deserves – as much culpability, not only because he's the one who hired Freddie, but also because, you know, he's the one that made the Olivier Vernon trade for Kevin Zeitler, thinking that Austin Corbett was going to be ready to step in at right guard. And now they have a massive hole there that has killed them all year. You know, wasn't Freddie that thought, well, you know, Greg Robinson is the answer at left tackle, so we're good there, we're going to stay pat, when, you know, even when he's been healthy, is, you know, not been great. You know, Chris Hubbard on the other side. So it's not just Freddie. You know, I think that the front office and the team that they put on the field, you know, just hasn't worked out. And there are a lot of reasons why, but I think offensive line obviously is the biggest one. And that's why you can have all the skilled talent in the world. If you can't protect, you know, it's very difficult to get those guys the ball. And I think that was a big problem for them on Sunday.
Jake, let me ask you, back to Demarius Randall here. What, I mean, you had it. Have you just missed a practice? Was he in the building and missed a practice? Was he at home and missed a practice? Do we know any more details to that?
Yeah, I believe he was in the building.
So he's in the building but misses a practice?
Correct.
Watching TV?
You're asking me to explain it. I don't really have a great explanation.
I mean, I just don't understand. So, guy's in the building, it doesn't go to.
If the guy needs a, you know, this guy's, you know, probably not here anymore. Obviously, you know, he's playing for a contract elsewhere.
Right, right. No,
I mean, that doesn't happen very often where a guy gets left behind and he's healthy, and a guy who's a starter. I mean, how many times has that happened in the NFL this year?
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, you. And this is the other thing, too. Like, people think this is a one-game thing. I don't know that Randall's going to be a guy that they count on the rest of the year based on what happened this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to leave him at home for – you know, we were calling it the game of the century for us. I mean, or at least the game of the decade. Sorry. Well, it might as well be century. Game of the decade. I mean, and you're going to leave him at home? You're right. I don't know. I don't know why you would expect to see him for the rest of the year. You wouldn't.
No, and I mean – It wasn't just the safeties that had issues, but I mean the secondary was a big problem on Sunday. They couldn't stop James Washington. They couldn't stop the deep routes from a guy, you know, throwing the ball named Duck. It was like a four-string guy in training camp for Pittsburgh. So I mean, yeah, it's the problems with this team are so numerous. It's hard to cover them all, but I think leadership in the locker room has been a problem too. And you know, when you have good leadership in the locker room, that kind of stuff doesn't happen. You know, Jake, it doesn't happen.
Jake Trotter joining us from ESPN. Jake, last thing, we've talked about Odell all season long, and it's not like they're not throwing him the football, and it's not like he's not getting some receptions and doing some things. But this is a guy who gets a ball in the end zone. He has two touchdowns this year, and I can't – he has to have some culpability here. But, man, I don't think most of it's on him. But I'm hard-pressed to tell you where it is. What are your thoughts about how this hasn't worked so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you start with the offensive line. So Odell is the type of guy that, you know, likes to run routes downfield, and when you can't protect the quarterback, it's hard to really unlock a lot of that. So I think that's an issue. You know, I don't know. It's hard to explain why the chemistry, the synergy has not been there really between he and Baker, like it is with Baker and Jarvis. I mean, Jarvis Landry is their number one receiver, and almost think they should just treat it like that. Make Odell the number two, because that's the way it sort of worked out for them. And Baker clearly has more of a comfortability with Jarvis Landry. You know, go back to the Denver game. Who did he throw the ball to on fourth down? And throw it up to Odell, you went to Jarvis Landry. I think that there's a little bit more precision in the way that Jarvis Landry runs his routes than Odell, which, you know, I think is something that works better with Baker, who's a precision player. Whereas Odell, the word that's used, that I've heard used, is Odell's more of an artist, and which is great because he can make just unbelievable artistic-like plays, but I don't know that the precision has always been there. That's why you've seen some of these interceptions and, you know, balls behind the receiver when it comes to Odell. Like, I don't know if Odell is always where Baker expects him to be. And so that's what, you know, why you've seen them struggle to get going so much. And so I think in that regard, Odell does deserve some of the blame. But at the end of the day, like, I think culpability can go around. I mean, Freddie, the offensive staff, Odell, Baker, the offensive line. It's been a huge disappointment. And you almost wonder, like, if they'd have been better off not making that trade. It seems crazy to say, but their offense is not as good as it was at times, or not as fluid as it was at times last year. And they just have not been able to work him in, and now they have a ton of money invested at the wide receiver position going forward that – is going to make it difficult for them to shore up things like the offensive line. So I'm not saying they shouldn't have made that trade, because you always make a trade when you get a player like that, but it has not made them better, which is puzzling.
Jake, thank you for your time. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, man. I'll never blow you off at an event. I just want you to know.
Okay, all right. I'm going to hold you to that.
Jake Trotter.
Bye, Jake.
ESPN joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.